And if it sounds kind of echoey in the KM studios, it's because we're not in the studios. We are coming to you live from the Eureka Women's Club. This is KHUM, cutting Eureka Arcata and the Eureka Women's Club, and streaming on the web at khum.com. It's our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. This is, as incredible as it may seem, our 19th here on KHUM. And it's just amazing. This is our healing breakfast. This is our positive way of tying up the whole thing. And joining me way on the other end of the table there, we've got my co-host for these 19 years, Sherry Johnson. Say hi, Sherry.
Hello. Good morning.
Good
Welcome
morning.
To the healing breakfast. Yay! Hey.
Doors are open, by the way. It's at, what is the address? It's at 1531 J Street. If, in case you were anywhere near the neighborhood, stop on by. This is free and open to the public.
And you would be so amazed at the transformation of a room into a beautiful, healing, wonderful, sweet space. So please, please, just get in your vehicle or on your bike or your skateboard or your legs and come on down to the Eureka Women's Club and join us for our 19th annual Stop the Violence, Start the Healing, Healing Breakfast.
That is right. So we got a whole panel of speakers here we're going to be talking today. We've got live music from Lindsay Battle. She is getting all tuned up and ready on the stage behind us. We've got a keynote address from our incoming district attorney, Maggie Fleming, who is also part of our panel.
Yay!
So let's, I guess... Sherry, I'll let you introduce since I can't see. this table is completely horizontal and I can't see at all, so except for who's next to me. So why don't you introduce who is to your left?
Well, I'm going to let these wonderful panelists introduce themselves.
Good
and
idea.
I'm going to have... And everyone has been basically on except for Colleen. Mm-hmm. So, and then Maggie, we'll be hearing from you later, but let's just go down the table and have folks introduce themselves.
Good morning. My name's Rochelle Trottenberg, and I am the youth organizer for the Humboldt County Transition Age Youth Collaboration. I'm really happy to be here this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. I'm Maggie Fleming, and I've worked in Humboldt County over 21 years, and in January, I will be starting as your district attorney.
Yay! We're all excited about that. This is Mary Ann Hayes Mariani with the North Coast Rape Crisis Team.
Colleen Thornton from Two Feathers Native American Family Services.
Wonderful.
Yay.
Thank you all for coming in here. It's always a balancing act on how loud to make the PA before it starts feeding back. So I guess we have found that tipping point. Alrighty.
And Cliff, let me make one announcement, which I'll make throughout the 2 hours, mm-hmm. is that we are going to be giving away a free quilt today.
Wow.
So that is from Oceana Madrone, and it's the quilt that was the quilt squares that were made at the last healing breakfast. So over there where Oceana Madrone, beautiful, lovely Oceana is, there's a little place where you can put your name on a piece of paper, and we will draw the name towards the end of the healing breakfast. So another reason to come on down. And it is displayed in the back of the room. Listening audience, you cannot see it, but if you could, you would see how beautiful and lovely it is.
It's actually so beautiful you can almost hear it.
So please, when you get a chance, walk on over to Oceana's table, make another quilt square, and put your name in the little pie tin to be drawn later for a free quilt.
Fantastic. Let me give some thank yous. First off, I want to thank my wife, Amy, who has been doing such a great job helping get all this set up. Really does so much work behind the scenes. It's this thing wouldn't happen without her. And I want to thank Sun Valley Floral Farms for donating all the beautiful flowers you're seeing all over the room, and of course Amy for arranging them so nicely. And the pastries that you are consuming today, so they're delicious scones from Velatini Baking Company, fresh, just baked moments ago, and picked up early this morning right out of the oven, so they're really, really fresh. And of course, signature coffee, the Cahill blend, naturally. And I'm already on my second ginormous mug of the stuff, but I got here early, so there we go. So thanks, and of course, thanks to Eureka Women's Club for donating this beautiful space. We've been doing it here for the past several years, and this has become the home of of our Healing Breakfast. It really is a very warm and inviting space.
And then, Cliff, let us do the acknowledgement, too, that we are on Wiat tribal land. Mm-hmm. Nothing that anyone says or does, nothing in history, nothing will ever change that. And we're grateful to be guests here.
Yeah, fantastic. And I also want to say a big thank you to the underwriter of our campaign this year. That's Schmidbauer Building Supply. So thank you guys for stepping up to the plate and doing that. We've got a room just full of resource tables. I think this is the most packed we've had the place with this many resource tables. Who do we have?
Well, we've got all kinds of people. So, and I think what would be really great is for Amy to go around the room, and if we can just drag her away for a second and just find out who's here.
Okay. Why don't you give a 1-2 on that microphone?
So 1-2.
And we'll later in the program we'll have like more explanation, but we could just hear who's here. That would be great.
Uh-oh, we're not hearing anything on that
Nurse
microphone.
Family Partners are here, and we have the Suicide Prevention Program from the Humboldt Department of Health and Human Services, and we're very happy to have you. We have Oceana's here with the Healing Quilts Project again this year. She's been with us, I think, since the beginning. I see Head Start is here. I see Raven is here. We're so happy to have everybody. The Promotores are here. We also have the folks who are Healthy Kids Humboldt, do amazing work. Paso a Paso is here. We have the North Coast Race Crisis Team, who's been with us since the very beginning. We have PFLAG, who received some money from us a couple years ago for their good work. And we also have Two Feathers here, and the Emma Center is here. And the Eureka Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are also with us, which leads me to say that Sister Juana has prepared one of the most wonderful blessings for us again this year.
All right, why don't you give Sister Juana the microphone there?
Well, good morning to everybody here. We're so happy because we've got a new beautiful nun. Her name, she will tell you her beautiful name.
Hi, I'm Novice Sister Grinnenberry, and it's an honor to be here.
It's been tough because we've been recognizing Transgendered Week, and last night we had a beautiful ceremony, and that lasted till late. So trying to get up early in the morning and trying to look beautiful, it's hard to do, very hard to do. But anyway, for this benediction, I would like to ask all of you, if you please, stand up. It's tough because Sister Grin and Barrett, she's like 10 feet tall in these high heels. And I'm short and round, and they like to say I'm frumpy. So I'm more of the grandma type. But anyway, in all seriousness, please call upon your higher power,
Divine Lord,
and Great Spirit. Bless all of us here.
And those listening on the radio.
And bless the food we are about to receive. We thank you, and we ask you to comfort those who still carry both mental and physical scars of domestic abuse and violence.
Heal and unburden the victims of rape. Bring justice to the perpetrators. May all victims of murder rest in your peace.
And grant consolation to those who mourn their loss. Amen.
Ah, woman.
And all the rest.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wonderful.
Good thing victim witness just arrived, and they brought their own table, thank goodness, because we are out of tables.
Well, we actually have some more in the back if we have to.
Oh, good. Great. Because we may need them.
We're prepared. We may run out of room, though, here at the Women's Club. But anyway, it is wonderful to have this 19th Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. This campaign actually started years before KHUM even was on the air. I started this back in 1990 when I was working as a national radio consultant, and I was working with a radio station in Washington, D.C. called WPGC, which had in Washington, they had just been named the murder capital of the nation again. And basically they brought me in to help them with promotions and whatnot. And I said, you know, why not take that on as a campaign? Why don't you try to address the fact that D.C. is the murder capital of the nation and see what you can do about it. So the original Stop the Violence campaign started off as more of a street violence campaign. It's evolved since then. And the whole thing revolved around Stop the Violence Day, which is November 22nd, tomorrow. And the whole idea behind that was for people to take personal responsibility for violence. You know, one person, you know, at a time. If one person can not be violent for one day, then perhaps everyone can do it, you know, every day, one day at a time. And that was the whole idea behind it. And that started back in 1990. Then when KM went on the air, I said, well, we've got to bring this campaign here. But although street violence does happen here in Humboldt, we must acknowledge that, it wasn't the same level of intensity as it was in the larger cities that I was working with. But the other thing that was just as prevalent in just about every town I've been in is things like domestic violence and things like sexual assault and child abuse and all of that. That is one of those underlying things that cuts across all communities, large and small. And in a beautiful, pristine community like Humboldt County, it's all the more shocking.
And hidden, and not talked about,
right.
And something that was kept private until people have been courageous enough to talk about their lived experience. And Cliff, I want to make sure, just in case somebody's just tuned in for the very first time and they've never heard anything about this, that you can go to the KHUM website, and on the website are the archive shows for the whole past 3 weeks and even for the past few
years. Yes,
so
right.
If there were so many wonderful things said in the interviews and on the panel that you could listen to them and get the kind of information that you really can't get anywhere else.
And you'll find that at khum.com, and just click on the Stop the Violence logo, which is in the upper right corner, and it'll take you right to the page. You have little pictures of all the folks we talked to and a complete archive of all of the interviews. And I know a lot of folks have been listening to those, and it's been terrific.
And resources in English and in Espanol.
That is right, which is fantastic. We want to thank the promotores for helping us with that.
Right.
So I think what we need to do is take a quick break. And I know that Lindsay and Rand, are you guys up there? Are you guys about ready to go? All right, we'll do a little sound check during the break, and maybe we'll have a little bit of music to start things off. Well, folks
Lovely.
Are having their morning coffee and a pastry. Anyway, you've got it on KHUM. We are Humboldt Ground Radio. Without the rules, it's our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing Breakfast. All righty, 17 minutes after 8 o'clock, you've got it on KHUM. It is our Healing Breakfast. We are coming to you live from the Women's Club right there on J Street in Eureka. The actual address, 1531 J Street, in case you're not exactly sure where it is. So we've introduced our panel of guests, but right now let's have a little bit of music while we're having our morning pastries and morning coffee. So our very own Lindsay Battle is here, and she has Brian Hennessy on the bass. And I think you're starting to build a little bit more of a group there. I notice we have another guest.
We're multiplying up here like rabbits.
Alrighty, so let's do like three songs to get us in the mood. Lindsay Battle.
Upwards, and I have taken a look around. Well, I'm in awe of all the beauty in the this world I found, and I am grateful,
grateful,
so very grateful for what life has given to me. I am grateful,
grateful,
so very grateful,
grateful
for what life has given to me. Dodging me, well, those days turned into night sky so melancholy. Then the stars lent me perspective from way up above, and that's when I realized I can shine like them with love. Yet I am grateful,
grateful,
so very grateful for what life has given to me. So very grateful,
grateful
for what life has given to me, to me, to me. I am grateful,
grateful,
so very grateful,
grateful
for what life has given to me.
Thank you. We're tweaking out the sound, just a tidbit here. I'm going to play a brand new song for you, one that Jeff has never heard before, but he's about to sing on it. That's going to be great.
Just fake it, Jeff.
Though I got a team driving and why so conniving and all the things you do. What I do don't hurt nobody, don't serve nobody but me. What I do don't hurt nobody, don't serve nobody but me. What I do don't hurt nobody, don't serve nobody but me. What I do don't hurt nobody, don't serve nobody but me. Apple, you've driven many falling, don't you come calling.
What I do don't
bring me your past. Serve nobody but me. What I do don't hurt nobody, don't serve nobody but me. What I do don't hurt nobody, don't serve nobody but me.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. That's Jeff Thomas there. Play one more tune and then get back to the discussions with Cliff. Some of my favorite jazz tunes. One of them. It's hard to pick a favorite.
There's so many.
Let's try that again.
Okay.
One, two. Okay. So we didn't agree on what my favorite jazz standard was. We're gonna agree on it right now. Do you wanna do Love Is Here Today?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let's do that one. I'm like, why is this not working? One, two. It's very clear our love is here to stay, not for a year, but ever and a day. The radio and the telephone and the movies that we know may just be passing fancies, and in time they go. But oh my, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way. In time, the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay. But our love is here to stay.
And a little guest vocals there from Jeff. That was pretty cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. And now we know Lindsay Battle's favorite jazz song.
My jazz song.
Isn't that your favorite jazz song?
My favorite.
Isn't that what you were just saying?
Well, I don't know. The thing, the joke was, is I was like, I'm going to play my favorite jazz song. And so we both started playing two different
songs.
Jazz standards.
Yeah.
So.
In true jazz fashion.
I am a we're both fans of jazz.
There you go.
The hokier, the better for me.
Fantastic. Alrighty, so we are at our 19th Stop the Violence, Start the Healing breakfast, and it is 28 minutes after 8 o'clock, and I think this would be a good time for me to introduce our keynote speaker, Maggie Fleming. Let's give a big hand to our incoming district attorney. And Maggie, if you want, you can head over to the podium there. It's the official keynote spot over there. Yeah. This way you can stand, everyone can see you. We got a special mic set up just for that.
Well, thank you, and welcome to everyone. My congratulations to Sherry, Cliff, and Amy, and Kahum for 19 years of Stop the Violence, Start the Healing program. This year's program has been really outstanding and provides the community with so much information about the issue of violence and how to access resources. And it's good to see all who are here offering information and resources, because I think we all share the hope that we can stop violence and help survivors heal through education, information, and support. I know there have been times for each of us when we question if we've made any progress in how our society views violence and sexual abuse crimes. When I was in high school, I wrote an English term paper on rape. And although I have forgotten some of what I learned in high school, I will always remember a quote I read while researching that paper, a statement by Golda Meir, who was Prime Minister of Israel from 1969 to 1973. And unfortunately, during that time, there was a frequency of rape that was increasing in her country. The solutions suggested by those in her cabinet were that there should be a curfew for women. And Prime Minister's response was, "But it is the men who are attacking the women. If there is to be a curfew, let the men stay home." Today's program illustrates that we've clearly made progress in recognizing that the fundamental solution to violence is not to curtail the freedom of those who might be subjected to it. We have many local examples of groups working effectively to bring about a change in attitudes towards violence. One example is the Check It program at Humboldt State University, which has received national recognition. This program encourages people to help stop violence by being present for each other. Students are encouraged to speak up if they see a situation where someone is becoming abusive. The program allows us to anticipate a time when any time someone starts to become verbally abusive, bystanders would say, "That is not okay, you need to stop." Or if someone makes a joke about abuse, that those hearing it would say, "That is not okay." Such simple acts can have a big impact. Views can and will be changed for the better, and behaviors that can lead to violence will be curtailed. This program highlights the fact that we are fortunate to have a variety of dedicated and effective groups in our area who work with survivors, such as the North Coast Rape Crisis Team, or those who advocate for survivors of intimate partner abuse. These groups offer people a way to move forward, and in some cases, away from their abusers. Over my career as a prosecutor, I've had many opportunities to work with those who offer support to survivors and assist them as they make the decision to report the crime and help them as they go through the court system. I have been awed by the dedication of these people, including many of the people here. For example, people who through sheer tenacity refused to allow clients to sleep through the cracks. Early in my career, I had one case where I questioned if we were going to be able to proceed because the survivor was living on the streets. When I walked in the courtroom, there she was. She was seated with her advocate who had found her and driven her to court. And for that woman, being in court and having the support she did helped her heal. An effective criminal justice system is important to violence reduction and can have a role in healing. Collaboration is key. The court process can be difficult to go through, particularly for someone who shares a close relationship to the perpetrator. I know that the experiences of survivors and the effectiveness of prosecutors are dramatically improved when survivors' advocates and prosecutors work together. An effective criminal justice system will be enhanced as society finds violence and the behaviors that lead to it less and less acceptable. As we change attitudes through education, we not only reduce violence, we improve the likelihood that juries will be fair and able to attribute responsibility for violent acts
to the perpetrators. Yay! And give the perpetrators the curfew, as Golda Meir suggested. The current path of progress by groups presented by Stop the Violence, Start the Healing, give reason for optimism that we are headed for a breakthrough in this area parallel to those who have benefited other societal problems, such as ethnic discrimination. I thank you all for your work and dedication to stopping the violence and helping survivors to heal. Thank you.
Our incoming DA, Maggie Fleming, right there. And I think that's a very good jumping off point for us to have a good panel discussion. We're going to take a quick break and let our sponsors say a few words, and we'll have a quick discussion about some of the stuff that was brought up there and some of the stuff that we've been talking about for the past 3 weeks. It's our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign on KHUM. It is 8:38 in the morning. You've got it on KHUM. It's our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. It's our Healing Breakfast. We're coming to you live from the Eureka Women's Club, and this is an event that is free and open to the public. Wonderful, delicious pastries from Bellatini Baking Company, hot coffee from Signature Coffee, beautiful flowers from Sun Valley Floral Farms, and, of course, a lot of great resource tables all around the room, and we'll be hearing more music from Lindsay Battle and company shortly. We just had Maggie Fleming, our incoming district attorney, give us our keynote, and that's a good jumping off point for our discussion. But we've got Sister Juana, who wanted to throw a question out to the panel, especially to Maggie. So, Sister Juana.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I heard and I watched on television that there are, throughout the country and throughout the states, and several police departments that have kits from victims of rape that they've taken samples, but because of finances, they cannot do a DNA test to bring these perpetrators to justice. What could we do as a people nationally to get financing to do the DNA work in order to find who the perpetrators are and bring them to justice?
Thank you much.
That, you know, that's a really good question as far as private financing. I know that in the past, I worked on the child review team at St. Joseph's, and one of the issues that came up was we could afford it, but there was such a backlog that it was taking months. I mean, there was a time when it could take up to a year to get DNA results. And frankly, at that point, we were discussing whether or not we should start trying to seek financing to send it out to private labs. But I don't know how other states are going through this. I know in our state, we do have a statewide Department of Justice system that includes DNA testing, and we are able to do the testing still here.
Is there any way we could, all the DAs throughout the country could get together and call on the Justice Department and get federal funding? Because there are many states that are just plain broke. And this has gone on in some cases, I've heard, not just years, but like over 10 years. And it's just sitting on the shelves. And how can we have healing if the person who's been the victim can't find justice?
And I think that that's important, and there are legislation and the Debbie Smith Act trying to move that forward. Here in California, we're also working with forensic examiners to proceed with that. Like, they have a new program called the Rapid DNA Testing, where there's a separate kit, and we can work at bringing that training here to Humboldt to kind of expedite the process. And I know there is law enforcement in our area that we've attended sexual assault response team summits to get to build up the quality of our response to these issues. So I really appreciate you bringing that forward, and we have to keep moving and paying attention to all the details of this. And I also want to say that it is important, the response of the legal system to a survivor, and sometimes even with all the evidence and the best effort of the survivor and prosecutors, the system fails us. That's why I was appreciating what Maggie was saying about our different educational programs educating our jurors, because sometimes things don't work right, and I just want to urge that we don't put all the healing of a survivor in the legal process, but also in their community support and themselves and how they move through their healing.
So throughout the campaign, we've dealt with all kinds of different things. We've had 3 weeks of varying topics, but all dealing with violence here in Humboldt County. We started with the culture of aggression, which is kind of a big overarching topic for the whole thing. But it was a good place to start with the culture of aggression, because there is, you know, a lot of violence built into a lot of our culture. It's just kind of woven into the DNA of it, and there is change that is happening. We've been talking about that, but we do have a ways to go on a lot of that. We also talked about sexualized violence here in Humboldt County. We had a wonderful discussion, several different days of that. A tough subject, there is no doubt about it. That is a very, very tough subject, and I want to thank our listeners for sticking with that and contributing as well.
The callers were wonderful, and the one story that was told, we'll never forget it, yeah. And we'll make sure that whatever system change can happen will be addressed.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, of course, youth who are vulnerable and people who can help. That was the topic for this week. And we had a lot of wonderful guests and a lot of youth who participated in the conversation as well, which was fantastic.
Really articulate, really doing wonderful things. And you just think the one-to-one conversations that the youth have, the ability that these programs have to reach people who are vulnerable, that maybe the rest of their lives will be different. And instead of the predictable tragedy that has unfolded for way too many folks, will be prevented because of the advocacy, the information, the connection, the support. It was just illuminating to listen to this last week. And I really want to thank all of the youth who were just courageous enough to go on the radio
And share
some stories and just talk so eloquently about the work that they do. And I really want to thank Rochelle for all of the years of work and advocacy that she has done with the Humboldt County Transitional Age Youth Collaborative.
H.C. Tacy.
I want to congratulate Cliff for being able to say that now.
H.C. Tacy. I've been practicing. It's like, that is a really long acronym there. That is long. And I also want to thank them, the youth especially, for coming on and talking, because this is a group that is often very hard to reach. When adults talk to youth, there's automatically a certain layer of distrust that happens. So having peers talking about issues that maybe some of the other youth are experiencing can really make it a lot more relatable, more impactful, and can hopefully open the eyes a little and help folks move forward. Yeah, so it's really right. Terrific.
Go ahead, Rochelle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to say, I think that one of the most important things, and that's been a big shift in terms of how services are provided to young people, is the use of peers as professionals. The Raven Project has their peer outreach team that goes out into all parts of our community to try and reach those young people that are the most disenfranchised and the most vulnerable. And then, you know, we have lots of other programs that are trying to do outreach to young people. Spare Change does a lot. And I think that it's really important that we remember how important it is not only for youth to hear from their peers in terms of engaging in support or getting out of risky or dangerous situations, but also for adults. There's the same kind of peer movement in adult services, and we all know that hearing from somebody who has a similar experience might inspire us or help us feel safe enough to take that step to get out of scary and dangerous situations. So,
absolutely. And like the other Friday panels, although we can't take any phone calls since we are not in the studio, we don't have any phones here except for my iPhone sitting in my pocket. We're not going to use that. If you here in the audience have a question you would like to ask of this panel that we've got here, or maybe a story you would like to share, or a comment, by all means, you can. Amy is grabbing the microphone. Just press that when it's ready, and it'll turn green. Anyone who would like to, to say something, ask a question, share something, that is absolutely fine. So just kind of raise your hand, and Amy will walk over with the microphone. You don't need to give your name if you don't want to. We're fine with that. So just want to throw that out there, you know, right now. So things we're going to be doing throughout the morning, and we wrap up at 10. We've got lots to take care of. We're going to Amy's going to zip around the room at some point soon and really introduce you to all the various different resource tables that we have, and let them explain what they do and what they're here for. Because I don't think I've never seen anything like this, where you've got this many, you know, support groups, so this many organizations that help people in Humboldt County in one place at the same time. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. It is, and I think this time we have more here than we ever have.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So
we're chock full.
We are chock full.
Yeah, please come on
tables.
Down if you're just thinking about it, you're listening, and say, oh, I'm not that far away. I'm going to get there. And please, there's still plenty of time to do that. Also, folks, if you haven't put your name on the little piece of paper to be able to get a drawing for the free quilt, we would love to do that sooner than later. And also, I just want to call attention to the quilt that is on sale in terms of a benefit drawing for the North Coast Rape Crisis Team. Again, another Oceana Madrone quilt, which will be incredibly valuable someday, I'm telling you, because she is a fantastic quilter, an artist. So, and then we've got quilts on display. So if you're a quilter, you want to come on down and take a look at these quilts.
Absolutely. And why don't you explain, I guess, the significance of these quilts?
Actually, Oceana... Would you like to... the mic is right there. Why don't you talk a little bit about the quilt project?
Just making sure it's on.
You're on.
Just as a fellow person who works with it, we like to be called fiber artists.
Ah, okay.
Oh, so Oceana...
Okay, so thank noted.
The Healing Quilt Project started in 1992 at Humboldt Women for Shelter, working with children. And it has grown and expanded over the years to be not just for survivors to express their stories, but also for community members to be able to express messages, images of comfort and healing and hope and support. Since the project started, over 120 quilts have been completed and gone home with survivors or gone to agencies that can use them for community education. And today we have the quilt that was made from the squares at last year's Healing Breakfast, and that's the one that we're going to draw a name for at the end of today. And in the other corner, we have a quilt that was made by a group of women at the Hope Center, and it's called Suicide Prevention, Messages of Hope. And I really encourage everybody who's here today to walk over and look at the quilt and read it. There are some really wonderful messages on that quilt, as well as in the pockets we have the resource cards and
phone numbers that people can call if they're in crisis themselves and need someone to talk to. And we are making more quilt squares today for a quilt that will be brought back next year for next year's event.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Oceana.
All righty. So I think, Amy, hang on to that microphone. I think what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to introduce everyone to all the different resource tables that we've got all around the room. You've got it on KHUM. It's our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing breakfast for 2014. All right. You got it on KHUM. It is our 19th Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. We're at the Healing Breakfast at the Women's Club on J Street in Eureka. Specifically, the address is, I've got it right here, yes, 1531 J Street. This is free and open to the public, and we certainly want you to stop on by. There is a host of resource tables all around the room. Amy's got the wireless microphone, and she's going to talk to the various different folks. Amy? Amy, it's all yours.
Sorry. I was getting things organized for you.
Organized is good.
We are working our way around the room from the dais counterclockwise.
Okay.
So we are starting off with the Emma Center.
Good morning. I'm with the Emma Center. I've been there over 6 years. The Emma Center's mission is to offer holistic healing support ongoing to any woman who has experienced trauma. Our holistic healing program includes our healing arts program, which is body work. We offer support groups, classes, workshops, art, singing, anything that can help healing our women, any woman who's experienced trauma or abuse. We have a lending library so they can learn about the things that the Emma's, about their own issues, their own things they need to heal from. And we encourage holistic healing, so self-healing. So we offer a lot of self-care information. We work with women who have PTSD mostly. They've gotten this through child abuse or domestic violence or any kind of violence. Trauma happens a lot of different ways, and so we are open to helping all different types of people. Anybody who identifies as female is welcome at the Emma Center. And so we are grateful to be here.
Thank you for being here. All right, and now we have some folks who come every single year from Two Feathers Native American Family Services.
Hello, everybody. My name is Colleen. Two Feathers is a Native American Family Services that help people who have fleeing from domestic violence or being stalked or sexual abuse. If they're fleeing, we have a transitional, we have shelter, emergency food, and clothing if they're fleeing from domestic violence. We have therapeutic culture groups for children ages 5 to 16. We also have Native American beating group for ladies, and that's a talking circle. We have counseling. The counselor goes out to the schools, and she counsels the children in the schools and also adults in the office. And, well, that was loud. And we also have a history and hope that we take out to the public.
Thank you. And now we have our friends from PFLAG.
Hi. Excuse me. I'm Linda Shapiro. And PFLAG is a confidential support group. We meet every second Monday in Eureka and every second Tuesday in Fortuna. Call 768-3287 and I'll let you know more information about our meetings. We're supporting the GLBT community and their friends and families.
Thank you. And now North Coast Rape Crisis Team, they have been with us since the beginning of our campaign.
Hi, everyone out there. My name is Nina, here with the North Coast Rape Crisis Team.
And yeah, we offer free and confidential services to any person across the gender spectrum and of any age who's ever experienced sexual assault within their lifetime. And so what that means is folks could be calling us to get support and services around an assault that just happened, or they could be calling about an assault that happened decades ago that, you know, for whatever reason now they're feeling ready to reach out and get support on. And so in addition to our 24-hour hotline, which is 445-2881 for listeners out there, we also offer accompaniment and advocacy. We can go out with survivors, you know, to advocate for them at various law enforcement appointments if they're wanting to go down the legal path of reporting. Also, different medical appointments, we can offer support there as well. We have also individual counseling and support groups for survivors. And, you know, we go out in the community a lot. We do prevention education. So we'll be out there at the schools and at different events, tabling. And just, you know, we're really just coming from a place of believing and listening to survivors. And we, you know, we know that for a lot of survivors out there, there's not, maybe there's not as much support, and they're just needing someone to talk to and needing some information. So we provide all that over at the North Coast Rape Crisis Team.
And now we have victim witness from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office.
Hi, I'm Mary Beth, and we provide a wide range of services, basically supports through court with victims who are going through the court system. We hook them up with resources. We provide counseling through our California Victim Compensation Program. We help all victims of violent crimes. We're also part of the Silent Witness Program through the Domestic Violence Council, and that's a awareness program, and all the silent witnesses are victims of domestic violence who have died because of this, and we honor them in different community venues and tell their story.
Thank you. So if you're out in the community and you see these black silhouettes that have photographs and stories of the victims, take a moment and read them. They're not easy, but they're very important, and we honor the people and the companion animals who perished. All right, and now we have some folks from the Promotores.
Hi, my name is Jean LaPietra, and I work with the Promotores and currently with the district attorney as a community services officer. And I'm here with several Promotores today. And we are a bilingual group of men and women that work for the well-being of Hispanic families. And Promotores are the link between Hispanics and the rest of the community. And so all of us either work in agencies, we have volunteers, and we try to assist the Spanish-speaking community with service referrals and their needs. And we're very grateful that the DVCC has allowed us to be with them this year to bring up the necessary and important need that we need services for the Spanish-speaking people, especially women who want to leave and go into a shelter. So thank you.
Thank you for being here, and thank you for contributing to this year's discussion. I believe we also have someone here from Paso a Paso.
My name is Jorge Matias from St. Joseph's Hospital at Paso a Paso, and I'm going to ask Laura to translate for me. Quiero hablar por la población hispana en este momento, aprovechando de todos los programas que están presentes aquí.
I want to share a few words today when we have so many people here representing different programs that serve victims.
Y voy a hablar por los papás, en este caso los violadores.
And I want to talk a moment about the fathers, he says, the ones who are often the abusers.
Como mexicano o como hispano, crecemos en una sociedad machista.
As a Mexican man, I grew up in a culture that was very macho.
Y muchas veces rompemos la ley porque no sabemos la ley en este país.
And many times we break the law because we don't know the law in this country.
Sin embargo, queremos superarnos y queremos mantener nuestra familia unida.
We want to promote healthy families and unified families.
Pero necesitamos más ayuda del sistema, con programas que nos ayuden a superarnos en nuestro idioma.
But we need more help from the system with programs that are available to us in our language.
Los programas que están disponibles en este momento ahí afuera son negocios solamente, que solamente están ahí por nuestro dinero.
Right now, most of the programs that help, for example, batterers intervention programs, are all in English.
Y las personas que toman estos cursos o estas terapias, 52 semanas, obtienen su certificado, pero realmente no entienden nada o cómo se pueden superar porque estas terapias son en inglés.
When members of our community go to the 52-week course, they might get a certificate, but they haven't really understood the content of the course.
So, también estos padres que violan la ley también viven en un círculo de violencia porque no hay manera como se superen.
And so, unfortunately, the cycle continues because we don't have the tools to stop.
Como comentaba, en Paso a Paso somos el único programa que habla español con la gente hispana. Y somos la voz, soy la voz en este momento de esos padres que tienen problemas allá afuera y que están siendo reportados o siguen viviendo en este lugar sin poder superarse.
Right now, Paso a Paso is one of the few programs in our area that works with the Spanish speakers and speaks Spanish in all their classes and programs. And it's very difficult for us to get the same services and the same outcomes because so many of the programs available are only in English.
Gracias.
Thank you.
All right. We need to say this is KHUM, Cutton, Eureka, Arcata, and Willow Creek, and streaming on the web at khum.com. It's our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign.
And we are making our way around the room, and now we are at the Raven Project.
Good morning. My name is Brandy Asher with the Raven Project, and we are a safe space and drop-in center and street outreach program for homeless, runaway, and at-risk youth from ages 10 to 21. And we provide services and resources for youth just coming in and supplies and referrals. But also, we do groups every week. We have a girls' space on Wednesdays from 6:30 to 8:30 where women can come in and talk about whatever is going on in their life and also just hang out and make art or do whatever they feel like they need to do to heal or to laugh. And we also have another group on Tuesdays called Queer Coffee House, which is also a safe space to come together and talk and laugh and do art and whatever feels comfortable and right for the moment. And if you want to give us a call, it's 443-7099. Thank you.
And I know that you also collect lots of different kinds of donations. Many of us who travel collect all the little sample shampoos and soaps and so forth because you make those available to youth as well. Okay, just want to make sure people know. Sleeping bags, cold weather clothes, hygiene supplies, that kind of thing. Think of Raven. And now we have the Head Start and Early Head Start people.
Hi, my name is Jennifer, and I'm here to promote Early Head Start and Head Start, which is a free home-based program, whether at home or at centers. We provide services for pregnant women to children age 5 years, and we also provide educational, social, health, and emotional support. For more information, you can call 1-800-808-7206 or our local number 707-822-7206. Thank you.
And then our next presenter kind of dovetails perfectly with this.
Hi, I'm Nancy Kelleher. I'm with Public Health, and I'm representing the Perinatal Mood and Anxiety Disorder Task Force. Perinatal mood and anxiety issues are really much higher in Humboldt County than in many areas around the nation. We're focusing on raising awareness and educating on this issue, how it impacts the mom and her baby. A lot of people don't understand. It's something that lasts for a long time in a way that we don't want. There's also a strong interface with domestic violence and women in the court system. And one of the things that we'd like to do is find a way to work to raise awareness within the attorney's world, the judge's world, because when some of these women are in court, there's a lot of things going on, and they're not able to address them because of that depression. We're also really open to having community members and other agency personnel on our task force. We meet the second Wednesday of the month, and you can give me a call at 441-5070.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. All right. Once again, we're going to talk to the lovely and talented Oceana Madrone.
Hi. I already described the quilt project once before, but I would just like to encourage everybody who's here in this room to come over and make a quilt square that will be used in next year's quilt and to put your name in the drawing to win the quilt from last year.
Thank you. And now, Sister Juana, would you like to say a few words about the Eureka Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence?
Well, sure. Originally, we started in San Francisco, where it was a group of gay men, but now we've progressed. We've got bisexual men and women. We've got straight people, transgendered people in our group. So we're really open for anyone who wants to give back to their community. We are not affiliated with any religion, but we do call ourselves sisters, and we basically raise money for the community. There are a few groups here, the Emma Project, the Raven Group, wonderful groups. We've raised money for them. We've raised money for the seniors, for the trails, the Arcata Trail Project that's going on, for the Jefferson School Project, wonderful, wonderful thing we have here going on in Eureka. We've raised money for the animals, the pet shelters. It just goes on and on. I mean, it seems like there are so many needs and so many groups in this county that need money. So you can call on us. And if you like to run around and kind of like being dressed like for last night, we had a man say, well, Halloween's passed. And but it's like Halloween all the time for us. We just love glitter and sparkle and bling. And if you really want to mix that with fun, of course, with respect for the needs of the community, we like to have mischief, lots of mischief. You can read about it. Most of it's untrue. But some of it is. So, you know, it's just call us. We have Sister Fondeman. You can find him over at the community. What's your group over there? The County Health and Sister Guyante. The Wellness Center. It seems like we're all over. We're spread out. You could call me Sister Juana. My phone number is 441-1619. But we are also throughout the United States, our group. We're throughout the world. Sister, could you tell us some of the countries we're in?
We have many houses around the States, but we also have houses in Australia, Colombia, France, Germany, Scotland, Switzerland, the United Kingdom, and Uruguay. Each house does a lot of different work to either bring awareness to different places that need attention and support. And of course, fundraising is a big part of it, but we do a lot of interpersonal work as well with the communities that need it.
Yeah, we like to have a bingo with a twist. And boy, it's wild for those of you who know about it. And we'd like to start up again. We've been in Cloister, we've called it, because we've had a lot of health problems with some of our members. Those of you, I know most of you would remember the good Father O'Mary. He passed away, and it was like a kick in the gut. And his talent is truly going to be missed. So we probably will start up around St. Valentine's Day. So anybody wants money, call on us. We're shameless. Thank you.
And the sisters are now also providing services in terms of performing weddings and presiding over funerals. And if you need spiritual counseling, they are your nuns. And no charge.
Hi, I'm Chris Hushley. I work with Health and Human Services in the Healthy Community Division in at the Community Wellness Center in the Suicide Prevention Program. And our main task with doing the Suicide Prevention Program is to really raise awareness in our community that suicide is preventable. It is so preventable, and there's so much that each one of us can do to prevent suicide. And we do that in a number of different ways. We have trainings that we provide. We go into different agencies and take a look at some of the protocols, policies, and procedures that could help identify and assess and then refer people. We really want to build a coordinated community response to preventing suicide, and that's what we're here for.
Thank you. And last but not least.
Hi, we are with Nurse Family Partnership through the County of Humboldt, and we have our program that partners first-time moms with a nurse through their pregnancy and through the first 2 years of their child's life. We serve low-income moms, and the program is for free. We are both English and Spanish, so we have services for everyone. We support, educate, and empower these moms to be able to access community services and to be able to have healthy babies, healthy pregnancies, healthy babies. We do assessments in postpartum depression and also relationship, domestic violence, and help them find resources.
Okay, Family Violence Prevention Program.
I'm Anna Owings Heydrich, and I'm with the Family Violence Prevention Program at Department of Health and Human Services. And we mainly do trainings and community coordination and community outreach. And then I'm also here with the Stigma and Discrimination Program. And one of our main projects is a speakers collective, Seeds of Understanding.
Voila.
Wow. Fantastic. Goodness gracious. Okay, there you go. Okay, so I'm going to turn this thing down. It's coming in way too hot there. Okay, so as we said, a lot of resource tables all around the room. And I was hoping to do this a little bit earlier because I know there's a time crunch, but I wanted to ask the folks from the Promotores to come on up. We're going to take a quick break, and we got something special for you guys coming up right after the break. So if you could just come on up, that would be great. All right, it is 21 minutes after 9 o'clock. You've got it on KHUM. We're coming to you live from the Eureka Women's Club. It is our healing breakfast for our 19th Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. We've got Lindsay Battle up on stage, and we'll be hearing from her in just a moment. But right now we've got something special that... did you want to go over there? Okay, something special we wanted to do with the Promotores. We had folks from the Promotores on for our first week, and we had a wonderful discussion. And now every year, our committee gets together. We have had our Stop the Violence fund being managed by a Humboldt Area Foundation for many, many years now. And every year, we give out a check to an organization. This year, we chose the Promotores.
We chose the Promotores because they have just tirelessly, continuously worked on behalf of the Spanish-speaking community in various organizations and in many ways. They are a very, very beautiful community of people who are dedicated and committed to making sure that Spanish-speaking services are provided and that there is advocacy for the Spanish-speaking community. We wanted to take this moment to publicly acknowledge the wonderful work of the Promotores and give them some money to spend in any way that they want to spend.
Any of you in the nonprofit world know that unrestricted funds are really good funds. Now, the amount that we can give changes every year depending on the interest that the fund generates. And this year it's $880. And normally we hand you a check right now here at this event, but through some miscommunication with Humble Dairy Foundation, apparently they already mailed it to you guys.
It's in your post office box.
It's in your P.O. box, waiting for you there. Yes, it's addressed to LatinoNet.
Would somebody like to come and just say a little
something? Sure, that would be fantastic.
Anybody?
We have some good talkative people with Promotores.
First of all, we'd like to say thank you so much for recognizing this community and the Spanish-speaking needs that we have here in town. The Promotores, Paso a Paso, there's many agencies. We all work together, and we have a great group of lay people who are not with an agency. And to be honored like this is amazing, and I want to thank DVCC for all that they're doing for our cause.
Hi, my name is Blanca, and I am on the board of LatinoNet, and I just want to give many, many thanks for your support, your generous support of the Promotoras. They are hardworking members of our community that are really doing a lot of good from the bottom of their heart. With a lot of love, they do great things for our community, and so it's very wonderful to be recognized. And thank you so much for all your support.
And thank you to you guys for all that you do. This is really wonderful, and it's our honor to be able to give you what we can. I wish we could do more, but 880, not bad. Not bad. Alrighty, so we've got Lindsay and Brian up there on the up on the stage, and I think they've got some more music they would like to play for us, and I would certainly like that. So enjoy some more coffee, some more pastries, and some wonderful music. Lindsay Battle and Brian Hennessy.
I have a question that I'd like to ask the panel first. Is it okay if I ask that first, or you want music now?
Yeah, let's. We've got our panel here.
We've got a panel here. Okay, so my question is that when someone has committed a crime and is being prosecuted in our legal system, they're supplied with a public defender to defend them, and I'm wondering why that is not the case for victims of domestic violence and people who have zero resources, who most times are looking, scrambling for a safe place to be. Is there any way that we can look in the future of Humboldt County to effectively provide legal services for women who are victims of domestic violence, or aside from like the self-help center and whatnot?
That's an excellent question. It's interesting because our society has always viewed crime against an individual as crime against our society. So as a prosecutor, I literally represent the people of the state of California. So when I meet with survivors, they understand that I am focused on the entire case, and that I cannot always focus simply on their personal view. And it goes both ways. I mean, in the sense that sometimes people say to me, I would rather nothing happen to this individual for what he did. And I have to explain to them that part of my job is to look at what he might do next. So sometimes people are asked to step up and come to court, even though they don't want to, because I have to worry about what happens next if no one stops him for this or her for this conduct. And then the flip side is that sometimes people want us to get more of a penalty, and either because the evidence doesn't allow it or because the facts are such that we can't seek that, that isn't the outcome either. But as far as services, there are a lot of services that we as a county provide, and there are also state-funded services that help with counseling, that can help with relocation, that can help with medical costs. So we are able to help in that sense. And then there is, in some cases, attorneys who will volunteer to help with victims as they try to go through the process, because there are other issues that arise that the criminal justice system doesn't address.
Thank you. Thank you. Now I'm turned on. But Lindsay, it's really a good point. One of the most hugest gaps in services is legal services for people who are experiencing domestic violence, especially in custody situations. So this is an identified need in our community. Some lawyers are able to do pro bono, but mostly they don't. So identifying some kind of source of support for survivors who are going through the legal system, especially in terms of custody, is one of the areas of true need in this community, not just this community, but across the country. The Legal Services Corporation, funded by the federal government, used to really put money behind helping survivors of domestic violence, but that had been defunded through various administrations. So the community is going to have to step up and figure out how can we have legal services on behalf of battered women, people who are battered, and their children.
I also wanted to add something. I think that it's a really great point that you bring up. And I can't talk to the legal aspects of things because that's really not something I'm familiar with. But one of the things I'm familiar with is the need for other supportive services for victims of violence or people who are vulnerable and exposed to violence. And recently there were several ballot measures that passed that increase funding for law enforcement, and we're all paying for that by an increase in sales tax. And one of the things that I think about is how does increasing law enforcement help vulnerable people or victims of violence? And they are definitely there responding and taking action. But one of the things is that investing money in prevention and in supportive services, because those are all needed for those victims of violence when they're leaving those situations. So how do we as a community invest our money in a way that increases prevention programs, that puts out programs for young people to be able to have access to safe housing, equitable jobs and wages, a good quality education, access to healthcare? Those are things we all need. And I hope that as a community, we can rethink how we invest our funds so that we're focusing on those things rather than just increasing law enforcement, because I don't think that that really is going to be the way that we're going to impact legal services for victims or other supportive services.
All righty. Well, Lindsay, you sparked a good talk here. Mm-hmm. And so if I can have you hang on for just a moment, I'd rather take the break now, and that way I don't have to rush you through your set. How's that?
All right.
Can we do that? All righty. So we're going to take a quick break, and we've got Lindsay Battle and Brian Hennessy up next, right after these quick words, coming to you live from the Eureka Women's Club for our healing breakfast. It is 34 minutes after 9 o'clock, and we've got it on KHUM. We're coming to you live from the Eureka Women's Club. It is our healing breakfast for the Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. And let's give our attention to the stage behind us right here. It is Lindsay Battle and Brian Hennessy for a few more songs.
Shield picture with raspberry paint, blueberry paint, strawberry paint, lemon paint, and artichoke paint, daffodil paint, and into rainbow. Life's merging as I go. Chickens in the compost looking for food. I'm out here looking for solitude. 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 Sometimes the hawks circle around me like prey, and other times they fly overhead, and I can't seem to get what they said. So I'm paint you a picture with worm castings, rotten eggshells, and lots of yucky things that I find floating around the yard. Though I try hard, I can't disregard them. But I'm still adding in that rainbow. Chickens in the compost looking for food. I'm out here looking for solitude. 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 Us by in this moment, we lost all will to gain. Still, you cannot remain when life thinks you pass us by. In this moment, we've lost our will to gain.
Thanks, you guys. Would you comfortably done?
Sure. More light the world.
One, two, ready, go.
carnival, hanging on the clothesline tonight. Flapping, kipping, twisting, crying, soapy tears of sheer delight. As the wind dries my sheets, perhaps I'll contemplate the moon landing. Watch the jackrabbit fashion hats of clowns gloating. He was here when this whole show began. While the city lights were busy shining, they forgot the words to their own song. Well, their duty lies in traffic guiding. I heard them buzz as it crumbled along. There's a magic show wobbling through the meadow this morning. Forest creatures disappear and reappear without warning. Dewdrops are the beverage of choice for good reason. Well, harvest time's coming round the corner, and it's no wonder why. It's my favorite season. While the civilized were busy dining, thinking they was eating their income. Built with cans of soup. Well, I know where it all comes from. Come to be dumb, ba dum bum 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 bum. Come to be dumb, ba dum bum. Come to be dumb, ba dum bum 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 bum. Come to be dumb, ba dum bum.
Something weird is happening with our tuning. So since this is a healing breakfast, we decided that we were going to tune our instruments in 432. I don't know if that means anything to anybody, but I've been reading up on conspiracies, and tuning to 440 just might not be as healing. So we're trying a different tuning. And I'm not used to it. Yeah, I got to read. My guitar is definitely not used to it. We got one more song left for you. It's going to be very healing as soon as I get back in 432. Or at least we're going to try to make it that way, right?
What does 432 mean?
Let's not do that one. Let's do it in a good way. You want to?
Yeah.
Do you think you're in tune?
I should be fine.
Okay. All right. I wasn't.
So what does 432 mean?
What does 432 mean? It's just where the A is. And the standard A is at A440, and which word on the street is that shifted during the Nazi regime. They're the ones who set 440 at A, but apparently the Earth resonates better with 432. It's more of a healing way to tune your instruments. So for sake of healing, this is something that pre-coffee at 7:30 in the morning coming over here, we decided it would be like a really great idea for healing's sake.
I think it's a good idea.
Well, I think it's cool.
We're almost through our set, and we'll decide after that. It's been definitely different. It's a little bit between it's not quite a half step lower. So like it's pitch shifting all of our songs a little bit. I don't know if you can tell. Hopefully it sounds a little more healing. That's what we're going for.
I feel good.
Thank you.
lies to every story. They all hold their truths to uphold their glory. Like a palindrome saying the same thing, forward and backward and upside down, sideways, always in a good way. In a good way. In a good way. For lack of a better word, I'll call it empathy. That I'm giving to you in exchange for your sympathies. Cause all I ever wanted was to remind you how to play and be okay today. Always a good way. I've forgotten to forgive you. Well, I think that's what I'm trying to do. This flag I'm waving's no longer red. It has been disinfected with bleach, and instead I'm waving around my insecurities on a constant quest after purity. Well, I'll sing you my song, then shine on along my way today, always in a good way. In a good way. In a good way.
How about you? I'm feeling healed. Thank you.
Thanks, you guys.
Lindsay Battle, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. Wow, that was great. Cool thing about the tooting. I had no idea. All righty, so let me turn
around. What's the fellow's name?
That's Brian Hennessy.
Brian. Brian with the big, giant bass cello?
That's a giant violin.
It's really, really great. Thank you so much.
I thought it was really cool when Lindsay was up there with her tiny guitar. and a giant violin.
Right. And they make such wonderful music.
I'm talking about the ukulele, of course.
Right.
Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. Alrighty, so we've got something kind of special we need to do right now.
Our next special attraction is giving away a quilt.
Yes, indeed.
So if you haven't put your name in the little tin for the free quilt, go ahead and please do that. And as you're doing that, we're going to do another little surprise event. So, Oceana, she's coming. So, right now, people are getting their names in the little tin. The quilt squares are getting their little fabric on them. And we're going to be able to do something right now. So, if I can have everybody's attention, please. Ding, 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 ding. If I can have everybody's attention, please. So, this is, we've not done this before. We've never done this before. But this is a special occasion, and there is somebody who is such an extraordinary contributor to the community that we really wanted to take a minute and publicly acknowledge the incredible work that this person has done. She has single-handedly changed the landscape of prevention information and services on behalf of all kinds of people. We'll never know how many people who are here as a result of the work that she's done. And she is single-handedly responsible for the extraordinary work that has happened in the community. And then, Oceana, did you want to say a little something, too?
I do. I first met Chris when I was working at Humboldt Women for Shelter and was just so moved by her commitment to helping women find safety and find healing. I've had the opportunity to work with her for over 20 years now. She helped to write the training manual, How Can I Help? Keeping Children Safe from Abuse and Violence. And She now works in the suicide prevention program. And Chris, can you please come up here? And the quilt that you are about to receive was made with squares from the How Can I Help trainings and from Stop the Violence, Stop the Healing breakfast over the years. I just want to say thank you for being the wonderful person that you are, for providing so many services to the community, and for being my friend.
Thank you so much. This is just an incredible surprise. These two women here know how I'm not one to want to be up here doing this. And I can tell you, they completely, I had no clue. Because if I had a clue, I probably wouldn't have been here today. But I so appreciate this. This is just so lovely. Thank you so, so much. And I have to say that I know today there y'all are appreciating work that I've done, but this is not work that one person can do. This is work that we all do together. And if I had not had people that were working beside me and in front of me and around me, many of the things that have been done over the years in this county would not have been done. So I appreciate every single one of you and all of the commitment that you have and just all your efforts. So again, thank you so much.
That was such a wonderful surprise. So for those of us who are surprise addicts, that was really, really good.
All right, now to give away the other quilt.
Right, now we have to give away the other quilt. All right, so drum roll.
Oh, I get to be the drawing. Okay, close my eyes.
Close your eyes.
I'm pulling out one.
One little piece of paper.
And it's blank. That's interesting.
Okay. Let's try that again.
Okay. All right, this time for sure. Okay. It says Mary Beth Brian. Brian? B-I-A-N.
The winner! The lucky winner! Yeah. Mary Beth from DA Victim Witness Program.
All right.
Whoa! Woohoo! There is your quilt.
Fantastic.
Okay. Would you like to say a little something? No,
no.
She wouldn't. Okay.
Fantastic.
All right.
All righty. So we are really just about out of time, okay? I think I think a good thing for us to do would be to take a few moments with our panelists. Each say a few moments of a closing statement. You can either be there or at your place, wherever you would prefer. And then we'll take a break and we'll hand it over to Mike. That'll be a seamless transition there. So who wants to go first? Okay.
Oh, me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm Mary Ann with the North Coast Road Crisis Team, and I think these last moments at the breakfast sharing of the quilts really speaks to our community. And I really want us to hold on to that and embrace that as we leave here today and as we continue our work over the years of what a community of network of support and all of us working together to check it, to pay attention, to name it, to support, to believe, to hear, to not judge. All of us doing our pieces of that really makes a difference in our community. So I really want to thank all of you because you inspire and move my hope. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Maggie.
I can't say it any better than Marianne. It's so amazing to look out and to know what all of you do every day and how much you help, and to recognize sometimes you don't even know the impact you've had on someone's life by being there, by not being judgmental, by being supportive, by finding ways to help. It is so important what everyone here does every day, and thank you so much for all your work.
Thank you. Rochelle.
I just want to thank everyone for the opportunity to be here today. Kayhem, thank you. And it's just such an honor to be in a room full of people who are out there every day working hard to stop violence against people and against animals. And if there's young people who are listening, I just want to encourage them to keep their head up and to reach out for support if they're in situations where they feel like they are victims of violence or vulnerable to violence. And I just want to encourage our community to come together to really support each other, because it's really all about how we as a community come together and are present for each other and be willing to step up and step out and be a voice for people who might be vulnerable. So thanks.
Thank you, Rochelle. And Sherry.
And that is so important, Rochelle, for us to recognize that there may be somebody listening who feels alone. And that is the message of this campaign from day one. You are not alone. We are a community. We are like the roots of old growth trees. We are deep and interconnected, and we cannot be undone. And our strength just grows stronger. And so I want to thank everyone who participated in the campaign for this last 3 weeks. I really want to thank my co-host Cliff and our mistress of ceremonies, really, of organizer par excellence, Amy Berkowitz. And everyone who contributed kind, warm, and wonderful energy to our 19th Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign.
Thank you. And again, I would just like to thank everyone who has contributed thus far, everyone who has listened to the campaign, everyone who has contributed in this room with your time and your energy. We'd like to thank, of course, Sun Valley Floral Farms for providing such beautiful flowers, Signature Coffee for the coffee, Velatini Baking Company for the... for the yummies, of course, the venue itself, the Women's Club. Thank you so much to the Eureka Women's Club for donating this beautiful venue. And, of course, we have to thank our underwriter of the campaign this year, Schmidbauer Building Supply. And I just want to remind folks that tomorrow, although the campaign wraps up today, tomorrow is officially Stop the Violence Day. That's November 22nd. I chose that date deliberately back in 1990. Because that was the date back in 1960 of an act of horrific violence that changed the world forever. We're talking about the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And I wanted to take that date that's known for such a horrific act of violence and turn it to a day of peace. And the idea is for all of us to take responsibility for any violence in our lives and stop. If everyone can stop for one day, maybe we can all do it every day, one day at a time. This concludes our 19th Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign. We're going to take a break, and we will hand it over to Mike next. This is KHUM.